And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Representatives of four Lutheran church bodies signed an agreement in Odessa, Ukraine, on August the 12th, pledging closer collaboration with one another and setting the stage for possible deeper cooperation in the future. The German Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ukraine, DELKU, was represented by Bishop Serge Mishuski. Representing the Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of Ukraine, SELKU, were Bishop Emeritus Viktor Grafenstein and the Reverend Oleg Shushenko. SELKU Vice President for Church Relations, the Reverend Dr. Albert Culver, represented the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the LCMS, while President Robert Bugbee attended on behalf of Lutheran Church Canada, the LCC. The LCC has worked in Ukraine for more than 20 years, providing theological education for the SELKU since 1998. SELKU is a church body which began after a separation from the DELKU in the mid-1990s. Although the two Ukrainian churches have had occasional contact since that time, the stage for stronger relations was set more recently when DELKU began expressing a desire to firm up its commitment to the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions. DELKU Bishop Mishuski had been an early student in the Russian project of Concordia Theological Seminary at Fort Wayne, Indiana. As the LCMS began working with developing Lutheran churches after the breakup of the Soviet Union, it is such a joy to see these long-term relationships grow and blossom, noted President Loris Mrast. It shows how the gospel is in the whole world and is bearing fruit and increasing, just as the scriptures promise. The Fort Wayne Seminary provided several continuing education seminars for DELKU pastors in the past year. Since the LCMS and LCC have a long-standing practice of cooperation in world mission areas, the recent discussions sought to foster cooperation and avoid misunderstandings in Ukraine, which has historically been an LCC mission field. President Bugbee observed, "When these talks began, the participants did not expect that we would end up signing an agreement to keep each other thoroughly informed of the work we're doing and to consider stronger joint efforts in the future. The discussions were marked by a great brotherly spirit. I thank God for that." DELKU includes congregations with history reaching back to the Lutheran Church in the Russian Empire, which was extensive and well-developed until the Communist Revolution of 1917 ushered in decades of repression. After dissolution of the USSR and Ukrainian independence, DELKU worked extensively with the Lutheran State Church of Bavaria in Germany, but recently began cultivating ties with the LCMS and its partners like the LCC. After the murder in France of Father Jacques Hamel by suspected Islamist militants, the organisation National Church Watch is advising that all church buildings should have CCTV and a single public entrance that can be slammed shut against attackers and personal attack alarms issued for key personnel. Churches in smaller villages are at greater risk of attack, it warned. National Church Watch's director, Nick Tolson, said eight clergy had been murdered, all in knife attacks, since 1996. The advice states, "If someone produces a weapon during a service, and this will usually be a knife or a blunt instrument, then you will need to get people out of the church. Do not let them just sit there and watch what is going on. They are at risk. It only takes seconds for someone to stab a large number of people, as we have seen in various attacks around the country. Think about how you would get the congregation out. This is especially important in larger churches where the children may be separated from their parents in a Sunday school." There has been informal advice that clergy should not wear their dog collars in public. However, the Church of England said it had not heard of any reported instructions to clergy to wear regular clothes. "We do not know of any instruction or advice for clergy not to wear dog collars," said a spokesman. Christian leaders have said clergy should never resort to disguise. The leader of Coptic Orthodox Christians in the UK, the Bishop Amber Angelos, said, "While potentially making us targets, our visible presence is needed as reconciling, peaceful resilience for the world." The Anglican Archdeacon of London, the Venerable Luke Miller, said, "Clerical dress in public is a sign of our mission of the Prince of Peace. We must not be terrorized out of it." The Evangelical Lutheran Church of England is circulating up-to-date security advice to all its pastors and congregations with the prayer that it will never be needed. Norway's State Lutheran Church has seen a record fall in membership after making it possible to join and leave the church electronically. The Church of Norway says almost 25,000 members left in August by using a new function on the church's website. Meanwhile, about 1,200 members joined online. Even though the church has seen a steady decline in membership in recent decades, that's by far the biggest monthly loss in recorded history. By comparison, the church lost 8,588 members in the first 7 months of 2016, before the online option was introduced. Still, church officials appear to have no regrets, saying in a statement that the online function makes it possible to clean up the membership list. No one who doesn't wish to be a member of the Church of Norway should be registered as a member, said Christian Raum, leader of the church's national council. I'm very happy that almost 1,300 chose to join in August. The Church of Norway counted about 3.8 million members in 2015, about 73% of the population. Like neighbouring Sweden and Denmark, Norway is among the most secular countries in the world. In all three Scandinavian countries, membership in the main Lutheran Church is falling, while Catholic and Islamic communities are growing, mainly due to immigration. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Finland has announced that it will not officiate at same-sex weddings as the country's gay marriage law takes effect next year. At a bishops' meeting held in Joensuu last week, it was decided that the church will only officiate the weddings of heterosexual couples. Issuing an 11-page proclamation, they said that the parties at a wedding must be a man and a woman. Same-sex couples can register their weddings at a local registry office. The church is not turning its back on sexual and gender minorities or rainbow families, but they are welcome in all other respects. They are part of us and not separate from us or some kind of problem, said Archbishop Kari Mäkinen. Lawmakers voted in November 2014 to legalize same-sex marriage, a move that was lauded by Mäkinen. The Archbishop's reaction led to about 3,000 members quitting the church. Mäkinen did not say what action the church will take if a cleric breaks the church's guidelines and officiates same-sex weddings. The bishop's announcement also said that a priest can pray for and with persons who have got married via a civil ceremony. Russia threatened to slap an extra criminal charge on a blogger who already faces up to 5 years in jail for filming himself playing Pokemon Go in a church. Ruslan Sokolovsky from the Ural city of Yekaterinburg has been charged with offending religious believers and inciting hatred over a YouTube video that has been viewed more than 1 million times. Investigators on Tuesday announced that a search of his home and office had turned up a spy pen for making covert recordings, for which he could face a further 4-year jail term. The 21-year-old video blogger has been remanded in custody for 2 months and is appealing against his arrest. He filmed himself in the Church of the Blood, built on the spot where, in 1918, the Bolsheviks shot the last Tsar and his family. In the video posted on August the 11th, he zaps Pokemons on a smartphone in front of the altar and swears, as well as comparing Jesus to a Pokemon. The case is making waves in Russia and has prompted comparisons with the Pussy Riot punks, whose 2012 performance in a Moscow church led to 2-year jail terms. Investigators have applied the harshest possible legal definition of Sokolovsky's actions using new tough legislation brought in after the Pussy Riot performance, which shocked many in the predominantly Orthodox Christian country. The Russian Orthodox Church is a powerful voice and is closely linked to the state authorities, even while nominally separate, with clerics involved in education and the military. Blogger Sokolovsky, who creates videos voicing his atheist views and publishes a magazine called Nothing Sacred, has refused to give testimony, citing his constitutional right, investigators said. Pro-Kremlin media has seized on the case. A scandal is blowing up that there's a potential to become a second Pussy Riot case, wrote Life News website, saying Sokolovsky was jeering at faith. Russian Orthodox Church spokesman Vladimir Lagoda wrote on Facebook that Sokolovsky was no chance passerby but works in the style of Charlie Hebdo, that is, deliberate provocation, referring to the French satirical weekly that has run cartoons of the Islamic prophet Muhammad. Amnesty International's appeal for Russia to immediately release Sokolovsky, calling the charges against him farcical. Several senior officials also called for Sokolovsky's release. Israel saw several major traffic jams on Sunday after a political dispute over work on the Jewish Day of Rest brought trains to a day-long halt, officials said. The cancellations affected 150,000 passengers out of a daily total of 213,000, the country's rail company said, leading to replacement shuttle buses and gridlock on the roads. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu cancelled rail work set to be undertaken over Sabbath, the weekly Jewish day of rest, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, after objections from ultra-Orthodox Jewish parties. Ultra-Orthodox parties, which demand strict adherence to Jewish law, hold key positions in Netanyahu's government and have often played a kingmaker role in Israel's politics. They control 13 seats in Netanyahu's coalition, which includes 66 out of 120 seats in parliament. Hit by the Sabbath ban, trains between the northern city of Haifa and commercial capital Tel Aviv could not run on Sunday morning, the start of the working week in Israel. The work instead began after sunset Saturday, with the train service only resuming on Sunday evening after the rush hour peak. Soldiers set to return to their bases after the weekend were reportedly among those affected by the morning cancellations, with special buses arranged for their transport in response. Several hundred people protested in Tel Aviv and Haifa on Saturday at the disruptions, media reported. Netanyahu was widely criticized over the cancellations, but he sought to blame Transport Minister Yisrael Katz, his rival within the right-wing Likud party. He argued that Katz had no reason to order the work to go ahead over Sabbath. "This crisis is completely unnecessary," Netanyahu said at the start of a cabinet meeting on Sunday. "Ministers are named to avoid crises, not to create them." And finally, a Japanese man who came face to face with the snarling bear took things into his own hands and unleashed his karate skills on the beast. The 63-year-old was fishing in a mountain creek when the 6-foot-3-inch creature set upon him in what he said was an unprovoked attack. In scenes seemingly reminiscent of Leonardo DiCaprio's epic tussle with an angry bear in the Oscar-winning film The Revenant, Atsushi Aokiji was bitten and scratched repeatedly, including on his head. "The bear was so strong and it knocked me down," he told Tokyo Broadcasting System. "It turned me over and bit me right here," he added, pointing to his bandaged leg. But instead of trying to outrun the beast, an Asian black bear, the fisherman said he decided he would try to use his well-honed karate skills. After assuming a fighting stance with his right fist in front of him, Oki jabbed at the attacker's eyes, which sent the creature scrambling away into the woods. "I thought it's either I kill him or he kills me," he told public broadcaster NHK. Trust Lutheran Radio UK to give you the bare facts. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.